Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I apologize for being a little bit late today. I seem to be having a little bit of computer technical difficulties. But I think I have them worked out now, and I'm really grateful to be here. Seems like we only have computer problems, like when it's really crushing or important. Anyhow, I'm very happy for you to be here and listening at this time period. This is Smart Soul Radio, and my name is Zen DeBrook. And I am thrilled and excited to be here and doing this show with you today. I will be taking live callers, and so all you need to do to be able to talk to me is call in on our guest call-in line, and that number is 646-378-1741. That number again is 646-378-1741. This show is really dedicated to you, to what your needs are, to how to have a more powerful and exciting, peaceful, beautiful life. There's all kinds of ways that we get ourselves into trouble, so to speak, and I'm here to help you sort them out. The main way that I do that is through talking about some technology that's called your internal guidance system. And if you want to check out what the internal guidance system is, we have a meditation that's on video that you can do, and you can find that at smartsoul.com. So simply go to www.smartsoul.com, and there you'll find a video on the homepage that walks you through the meditation that allows you to feel what your internal guidance system is. I'm going to give you just a brief description of it so that you can understand it for the purposes of listening to this radio show. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and answer a couple of the questions that have come in this week. I also want to let you know that if you don't want to call in and you're shy, you can always go to smartsoul.com, and there you'll find a button that has Ask Zen. And you can type your question in, and I try to answer it on the show. So with that said, I want to talk about the internal guidance system. I have found that it's one of the most profound and powerful tools that I've ever used. It's literally like a seventh sense in your body. And like your hearing is bringing in and filtering sound, and your taste is tasting foods and telling you what types of different food there are that you're engaged with, your internal guidance system is letting you know what your thoughts are doing, how they're engaging with the world, and whether or not they're bringing you away from what you want or toward what you want. And it does this by this expanded feeling in your body or this collapsed feeling. And this feeling occurs between your throat and your upper stomach area, about 2 inches above your belly button is where this really resides, not in your arm or your leg or anywhere else, just really in this area. And when you feel a tightening in your stomach or anxiety or worry or fear, that is what I have found to be the closing of your internal guidance system, and it literally means that what you're thinking is not true and not moving you towards what you truly desire. And when you feel more of a relaxed, open, easy feeling in your body, that literally is your internal guidance system sensing that your thoughts are truths and moving you towards what you desire. And the bigger the opening and joyous feeling in your body, the better. The more your thoughts are in alignment, the more powerfully they're moving you forward. And the worse you feel, the more suffering you feel, the more collapse, tightening in your stomach area that you feel, that means that literally those thoughts are not true and not moving you towards what you desire. Not only that, most likely not coming your way. And I think that's what the most important thing that I've found is it really allows me to clear my mind of the rubbish. And so with that said, this is a powerful tool for discernment. It allows you to understand where to focus your thoughts. And, you know, our minds are running rampant. I have participants in the work that I do tell me all the time how they get now that they can feel the opening and closing feeling of their internal guidance system and neutral, which neutral is also guidance. Neutral just means that the thought isn't moving you towards or away from your highest desire, your highest potential. But it's really interesting because once you get in touch with the sensations, then all of a sudden they realize they'll suddenly almost like they wake up out of a fog and realize that they're feeling closed. They're feeling this tightness in their internal guidance system, and they didn't know what they were just thinking. Their mind was just unconsciously moving them along. They're not paying attention to it. It's creating what it's creating, and they're not even aware of it. It literally happened last week when I was driving with someone in a car, and they turned to me and said, "Oh my gosh, I'm closed. Everything was fine. I'm suddenly feeling closed, and I can't find what I was thinking." And that's part of the reason why this is so important. We go into autopilot, or I should say our minds take us into autopilot often. And nobody's ever really taught us to pay attention to what our mind's thinking. But it's really important. So this week we got a question that came through our Blog Talk Radio messages. And this is one that I find is very important. It's a really good question to be asking. It comes through Jamie, CC, and it's called Fear in the IGS was the subject line. And it says, "Hi Zen, I have been trying to use the IGS the way you've described, but what I realize is that I'm afraid of the answers I will get. Because of this, it is difficult for me to get a clear sense if there is an opening or a closing. Any insights are welcome." So I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about. Sometimes we have ourselves so wrapped up in what we would like to have happen that we really don't want to know what's going to happen. We have ourselves so wrapped up in what we want, and our mind has decided that that's what's going to make us happy or unhappy if it goes the other way. Things that are difficult to ask questions about, not for your IGS to answer, but just to get up the courage to ask the question, are things like financial future, whether you should marry somebody, stay with somebody, or divorce somebody, whether a beloved is going to live or die, health issues. You're feeling like you might have a health issue and you're frightened. You may feel like, "Ooh, I don't really want to know if I have a health issue or not." So, you know, maybe whether you're going to lose your home, whether you're going to have the security that you need in the future. Maybe it's about your finances are often pretty big for people, as well as relationships. So this is the thing. Once you begin working with this, you find that whatever answer you receive is the answer that's in alignment to your highest potential and your highest good. And it is leading you towards getting to the most joy, love, and compassion. I had one beautiful woman that I know who was in the process of trying to determine whether she needed to leave her husband or not. He was quite destructive, and no matter how much she was trying to build a life, he would, through alcoholism and various things that he had going on, destroy it. And it was making it really hard for her to stay with him. She felt very guilty. She loved this man very much. And her quandary was, how could I leave him when he's sick? So we went through coaching. I do coaching with a very small, limited number of individuals. But we were coaching, and it took her about 2 weeks to discover the courage to even ask if it was in her highest good to leave him. And when we finally got there and she asked, she opened. Now, I know that many people have a lot of religious beliefs around divorce and various things of that nature, and it's really not my place to move into judgment. And this isn't about it being the easy route. In fact, for her, it was the hardest route. It was the route of most conflict. It was the route where she would have to really take her life into her own hands and not be codependent with him anymore. And there was a lot of growth. But the thing is this. When she opened, there was this profound sense of wisdom and peace that comes with it. When your IGS gives you an answer that's opening, it feels right. You can be confident in it. It's literally a future that you feel as if you are intended to step into, and it's important to step into. And it's never anything that isn't right for everyone involved. The way I look at the internal guidance system, and we talked about this last week, I also call internal guidance system IGS, by the way. But anyhow, the way that I feel about the internal guidance system is it's literally divine spirit, God, creator, chi, whatever you want to call it, the force, Luke, that is engaged in the entire universe, the entire galaxy, and all of nature as we witness it on this planet. And the way in which everything is under a certain type of coordination and energy, bringing it all into alignment, that's what this life force energy that's in our body, that's opening, closing, and bringing us neutral sensations, is attempting to do with us. And it's really our ego and our story that we have in our mind that takes us out of that symbiotic flow. Eons of story, yes, but really it's that story. And so when you get an opening about something, even something that's a big, scary question to ask, like, should I divorce my mate? It is the best thing for everyone involved if you open. And it's really funny because, I mean, I actually find it funny, but it's really funny because it goes either way. I have been working with clients who are like, oh, is it in my highest potential to leave my partner now? And they'll close and they'll go, darn it, I'm going to be out of this relationship. I'm tired of it. I don't want to work at it anymore. And why can't it just be over? So they'll ask, is it in my highest potential to stay in this relationship? And they'll feel that expansion in their shoulders. It's kind of cute. Their shoulders are kind of like, oh, all right. But there's something that shifts when that opening happens, because now all of a sudden they know. And there's no question about the level of work, the level of dedication, what they'll put up with. And it's really interesting when you get that yes, I'm to remain in this relationship, or yes, I'm to remain in this job, or I don't like to call it a yes. It's more like an opening. It's like it's divine purchase order towards a direction. When you get that opening that's the right thing for you, a lot of stuff falls away. There's a lot of wasted energy in the should I, shouldn't I conversation in our minds. And when we're on the fence of that should I, shouldn't I conversation, we're impotent. And there's a lot of things about situations and other people that we're not sure if we should put up with, or we get triggered by even more deeply than we would. But once we know that we're committed, or we know that we're not to be committed anymore, a lot of the baggage and the trauma fades away. Now, Jamie, I see that you're in the chat room there. Welcome. I'm really glad to have you. And I'm in the process of answering your question right now about being fearful of checking in with your internal guidance system around certain topics and that holding you back. So this is directly related to you. So it clarifies things. And even if it's a scary question to ask, what you'll find is when you ask it and you get the opening or the closing, then there's clarity. And where there's clarity, there's action. And where there's divinely directed action, there is peace. There's energy. If when you ask something that you're afraid of asking and you get a closing, let's say that you did ask whether you're supposed to leave a job that you absolutely hate, or you think you do, and you get a closing that you're not intended to leave it, because if you're thinking, is it in my highest good to leave this job right now, and you get a tightening in the stomach and chest area, that means no, or it's not in alignment for you to leave the job. People are like, but how can I stay at a job that I hate? Well, it could be that, you know, one time I had a client who was moved to stay in the job by her IGS, and within about 2 weeks she got incredibly politically active in something she really cared about, an issue she really cared about, and her job was so simple and so easy. In fact, that's what she had complained about, was that it was kind of boring and it wasn't actually using her to the highest capacity of her potential. And that job was perfect. It provided her the perfect amount of money and the perfect, like, nonchalant ease. She could do it in her sleep and excel, so that she had all this time for this other passion that came almost immediately after that. And she was so grateful that she wasn't job hunting and expanding herself in her work area, because really it was her activism that was what she was up to. So once again, all I can say is yes, it's taken me time, sometimes 2-3 days, 2-3 months, to ask a question that I was really nervous about asking. And I can tell you that over the past 15 years that I've been using my IGS, and over the past 7 years that I've been coaching hundreds of other people, it always, always, always works out for the best of everyone involved when you ask. It brings clarity. It guides you in a direction that you're off the fence and you're back in your purpose. And it works out for everyone. So there's an answer to the question of what do you do with that. I want to talk a little bit about fear. I also want to give out our call-in number. Really, this show is about guests calling in, and it's about me supporting you in what you need. And so if you have any questions, if you want any coaching, if you have any clarification that you want, call 646-378-1741. That's 646-378-1741. Now, I did a whole show back at the beginning of the year on fear. So if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to it, it's here at Blog Talk Radio. The title is there. But fear is desire in the body that is going unexpressed, that you're not expressing. So what happens is what I've found, that we have a desire, a really powerful desire. And then there's this, all these reasons why we think we can't have that desire, why it can't come to fruition. Maybe it's that, you know, we don't believe that we can have what we want, or maybe it's because we think that we have to work harder than we do, or maybe it's because we think we have to go to college to get this thing. Whatever it is, it can be a simple desire, a desire for losing weight and believing that it's too hard and you'll never be able to get over some of your food issues in order to do that. What I find is that when we don't follow up with our desire, it turns into fear in our body. It literally turns into fear. That's what sensation feels like. And so when you find something that you're really afraid of or that's holding you back, it's important to take the fear and dissect it to find out what you do want. There's this natural way that our brain just has been wired through the way that we've all been raised to go to the problem, go to what we don't like. We haven't really wired our brains to focus on what we do like, and we need to do that. One of the things that I highly recommend is you spend a week to a month making a concerted effort to state what you do want, what you do like. I mean, everything from like you're eating and you're like, ooh, I really like the flavor of pepper. I really love that bell pepper. I really love brown rice over white rice. I really love, and you just keep stating what you do like. What color of light do you like at different times of the day? What are your favorite smells? What are your favorite textures? What are your favorite people? What are your favorite everything? You focus on what you do want, because there's a way in which that will naturally begin driving the desire that you have towards attracting more to you of what you do want. The way that we've been trained as a kid, especially because there's a way in which after a certain period, we naturally, you know, 2 years old, we start protecting ourselves from our parents and what they want us to do. No, you can't do that. No, do this. Now, time to brush your teeth. It's time to go to bed. And all it's really great that to have kids on a schedule, don't get me wrong. But from a very young age, there's not much flexibility. I was just in a course on transformational teaching with Paul Sheely this past weekend, and how do you create a multi-sensory experience so that the person can have a full-bodied learning experience. And he was talking about his son, who was 3.5 years old, and he had 2 older brothers, and he really wanted to go to preschool. And so they put him in preschool, and he comes home from preschool on his first day at 3.5 years of age, and Paul looks at him and goes, hey, how was your first day of school? And his little 3.5-year-old looked up at him and goes, Daddy, they made me sit down. And it's like, he didn't like that. Well, of course. when you're a 3.5-year-old and you want to just climb all over and everything is so exciting and you have this exuberance bursting out of your body, why would you want to sit down in a preschool room? My goodness, think about a preschool room and how many colors and textures and toys and kids and things that are there for you. And then they make you sit down and you can't touch it. Talk about maddening. So that's what happens. We start getting told what's expected. We don't like it. It's not in alignment with who we are. It's not in alignment with our natural urges towards and our guidance that we're being given towards fun, exciting, beautiful, colorful things. And so it trains our minds to focus on what we don't like. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. No, I don't like that. No, I don't like that. And if you take a listen to the world around you, to our media and to our radio and to people in your life, and even into your own mind, there's a heck of a lot of I don't like that. And in that I don't like that, there's not a whole lot of, ooh, I like that. Ooh, I love that. Oh, that feels good. Ooh, that makes me joyous. Oh, that makes me happy. Oh, I like that. I mean, when was the last time you told your friends and your loved ones or your coworkers something that you really like that they do? You may notice it inside, but does that level of appreciation drop out? Well, back to fear. Because we're constantly looking at what we don't like and we're not paying attention to our desire, we have all this unconscious desire that's constantly welling up in us that we ignore. It can be the little things like wanting to stop and go out and get a cup of coffee in the afternoon because it's a beautiful autumn day and you just feel like getting out of the office, but you've got this report due and you know you need to do it, so you deny yourself going to that coffee shop for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. It could be slowing down and doing something nice for yourself like going to the movies, but no, I really shouldn't. I need to go home and get to those emails and wash my clothes and do this and that. There's all kinds of ways in which we consistently deny ourselves what we need, and in denying ourselves that, we're denying our desire. And in denying our desire, we are creating fear in our body because fear is desire that's going unexpressed. And the moment that you look at what you're fearful of and you turn it around into a desire that you want and you name it and you claim it, the fear will go away. You can actually excavate fear from your body. We have an exercise to do that. And I believe that's in the fear radio show that we did at the beginning of the year that's still here at Blog Talk Radio. So if you want more on that, please go there and check that out. In fact, at the beginning of this year, we did a few interesting shows on hope and living your destiny and things like that, that if you haven't had an opportunity to revisit those programs, I really recommend that you do because there's some great stuff in there. And I'm available to talk about any topic that you'd like, and there's two ways that you can reach me. One is to call in on the caller line, which is 646-378-1741. And another one is you can email me at Blog Talk Radio through the messaging here. And last but not least, at smartsoul.com, which you can find a video there on the internal guidance system and how it works. Give yourself an experience of it. There is a button that you can navigate through to the Ask Zen page, and I also get those emails, and I answer them here on this program. And you can ask any question that you particularly like. We have a new program starting, which is Smart Soul Academy, which I'm very, very excited about. And we're going to be bringing more and more people into this show in order to get their questions answered, because it's one of the simplest feedback systems for me to be able to really dig in and talk to people. This week, I had a gentleman by the name of Neil who has written me through the Ask Zen page, and he wants to know how I got my name Zen. So I wasn't born with the name Zen, and when I was about 23 years of age, in one of my meditations, I was told that my name was going to change. Now, I was born in Sacramento, California, and I spent a lot of my youth in Marin County. And I had built up, and this was, I was born in 1970. In fact, October, my birthday is next week. I'll be 38. And I had this, I was a very serious student. And my parents weren't hippies, but I was very serious at 23, and I was getting my degree in Mandarin Chinese and foreign policy at UC Davis. And I also had this great spiritual side, but it was very personal and kept very private. And I was told that I, in my meditation, that my name was going to change. And I had another friend who had changed her name to a hippie name. And I was furious with her. I thought it was the silliest thing, and it was ridiculous. And boy, you got to watch that judgment, man. I had this internal judgment about this woman changing. She was a friend of mine. I loved her, but I also was like, oh, that's so silly. That's so ridiculous. And, you know, Moon Ray or whatever. It wasn't. That's not what she chose. I'd never diss her like that. But I did have this internal judgment. And when I heard that my name was going to change, I'm a very devoted student. But I have to say, I was really taken aback and upset by it. It was so good. I had a few months to get over it. And eventually it came to the place where it was time for my name to shift, because I heard your name is going to, you'll be given your new name. So to make a long story short, because it is actually a very long and beautiful little story, I was in another meditation on a beach in Hawaii by myself, and I was asked to take the name Zen. And as crazy as that might seem to some people, it's a reality of my life, and I said yes. And then I was asked to take, I said, I heard, will you take this name, Zen? And I was sitting there and I got all somber and serious and all of my devotion and trying to generate my full level of service in my body. And I said, yes. And then I heard again, will you take this name, Zen? And it's so funny because I was 23, and I don't know if you remember yourself at 23 or if you are in your 23s, but I was like, I said yes out loud. And it was so funny because it was that third yes that kept me in my commitment. Because it's not easy. And I had all my own judgments, so I had to excavate all kinds of my own issues and embarrassments and standing by what my belief systems are and my spiritual practices and answering these types of questions. And so it was a huge, huge self-growth and spiritual growth and lots of people connecting and disconnecting from me for that choice. But it was that third snotty little reply that got me, because every time I think, gosh, it would just be so much easier if I could just go back to my original name, I really was like, yeah, that's why we got it asked three times. The spirit knew that this was going to be tough. So, Neil, I hope that answers your question, and I'm grateful that you asked and that you were curious. It's been a beautiful journey, and I'm really grateful to have been on it overall. So with that said, we're going to answer our third question for today, and that is, how do you tell the difference between wishful thinking and a real opening of your IGS? And this is from Pauline. And you can't wishful think yourself open. It's really quite interesting. I'd like you to do me a favor. We're going to do a little bit of a meditation together. And I want to show you how this actually works. Your internal guidance system is truly leading you towards your most powerful potential, your most gracious potential. And so if something is not in alignment with your highest potential, even if it's a positive or pleasant feeling thought that you would think would be a pleasant feeling thought, that does not necessarily mean that it's in alignment for you. So you may want $1 million, but if $1 million is the exact thing that's going to take you completely off of your path of what you're here to do and who you are, destroy your relationships and your family, you're not going to open at that. In fact, there's a lot of people out there in the world that I know of who are doing positive affirmations and getting no results because the positive affirmation that they're focused upon is actually out of alignment with their real purpose. Now, you've probably heard me say before that I am in the camp that we have 100,000 life purposes in one lifetime. Your life's purpose doesn't necessarily have to be some big beaming shine of light that what you're here to do. We are in our life purpose every waking moment. Whether we are stepping into it or not, we're only moments away from being in it. We're never far off track, and what takes us off track very often is our thoughts, our ego, our story of what we think things need to be. But your life's purpose can be handing someone the exact book that they need, calling someone in the moment that they need, being at a meeting after school and presencing something about the children that they need, that everyone gets excited about, that starts a whole new movement. And you may even just drop out of that group and never go back there, but you've seeded something that's moving forward. And that was part of your purpose, because you were the exact person to say it in such a way that they could get it, get excited, and then move it forward in their own perfect way. So you can't wishful think that. And your internal guidance system is not something that's just kind of there once in a while when you're in meditation. You're walking, breathing, living it. It's paying attention to all of your thoughts. So even if you dreamt up something in a moment and tried to get this false opening that you're talking about, this wishful thinking feeling in your body, the moment that you step into making that happen, your internal guidance system is still there. So let me give you an example. Let's say you're a student and you'd really love to drop out of college. You are sick of being broke. It's too hard. You can't seem to make it work. You need a break. You're exhausted. There's a lot of other things on the planet that you would like to be doing. And so you dream up dropping out of school and going and living somewhere exciting and just working as a waitress or a waiter or whatever it is that you decide that you could do to make the living that you could make. The second that you start getting down to the college office to begin, even before that, when you're leaving the house to go drop out of school, your IGS, if it's not in alignment with your purpose, will close. No matter how exciting or sexy the vision of your future may be, it ain't going to let it happen. You're going to feel sick to your stomach and full of anxiety. And it'll keep that way until you go back to school, if it's not right for you. And the flip is true. If it is right for you, you will be open and confident no matter how much your brain is telling you this is crazy, you shouldn't drop out of school, you need college. The exact thing, if it's in your purpose to be outside of school, to drop out of school, it will open you. You will feel this confident, wise, expanded feeling in your body. Even when your whole mind may be saying, my parents are going to be mad at me and people are going to think I'm a loser and I've got to finish college. Our paths are so beautiful and complex. There is no one path that's right for every single person. Now, that doesn't mean you won't necessarily be getting back into school, but maybe there's something that you really need to learn so that you can true up your school experience, align your school experience more powerfully and positively for what you are here to do. And when you entered school, you were a person who just picked the major that was close enough to what you liked in college as courses. But now what you're really intended to do is not necessarily creative writing. What you're really intended to do is biology or some environmental studies, or and you're not there, and you need to go drop out a little bit so that you can come back more aligned. The point is that this wishful thinking piece, that's when you're getting into drumming up your emotions of what you would like to have, but your IGS won't back you up in it. You'll know it because it's consistent. It'll stay there. You'll know it because the more that you move towards it, the more energy you have and the more doors that open. When we are in alignment with our highest potential, the universe is consistently conspiring to make that highest potential happen with us, because everything is in symbiotic alignment, and you're a perfect part of a whole. So, of course, as soon as you get yourself into alignment, it wants you to be supported, because in supporting you and you doing what you need, everybody else can start getting that vibration and start moving it forward in the world. There has been so many times when the little perfect thing that I can contribute, or the little perfect thing that somebody else can contribute to me, is exactly what I needed. I was just in church the other day, and this woman said in front of me about what the person in the front of the room was saying. She said, "Speak when spoken through." I grabbed my notebook and wrote it down really quick. I was like, yes, that's it. Speak when spoken through. Well, she wasn't even looking at me. We weren't even in a conversation. I just happened to be right behind her. But I just have to tell you, boy, I've been mulling that one over for the past week now as a true desire of who I would like to be. I want to be the materialized form of spirit on this planet and to be spoken through in a way that's absolutely in alignment and just non-judgmental, just getting to be there, present, aware, in service. Your perfect moment exists every day. And it's not always about doing. One of the most beautiful things, you know, that I love about the IGS is it doesn't just guide you to get stuff done. It also guides you when to take a nap. It guides you when to play. I can't tell you how many times where I've been in the middle of the afternoon feeling like, I just want to go to the movies. I just want to drop everything. I'm tired of taking calls. It's a little too much for me. I work all the time. I love my work. And I'm like, it opens me. It opens me. I can go to the movies right now? Really? It's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Is that really okay? Open. Oh, I can't do that. I need to stay here. I've got to get all these emails out and get this thing ready for tomorrow. And closed. Tightening in the stomach, in the chest. Really? I'm supposed to go to the movies? Expanded feeling. Well, I used to argue with that. And what I can tell you is the time passes. And it's no longer time to go to the movie. When you get an opening, go. Because not only is it just the opening is for you, but it may be that there's something in the movie that you choose that's something that is an awareness that you need for what you're doing in your life. It could be you really do need a break. You know, we can't go full bore all the time and be our best, especially women. I don't know how many women are out there, but I want to let you know, when you're tired, you can't be at your best. We can't be the most loving, compassionate, beautiful creatures that we are when we're tired. We give a lot, and it gets to a place where the tank is empty. And you may have some pretty big giving going on in the next few days, and taking a nap or going to the movies or taking a bath or calling a girlfriend and spending an hour dishing on the phone or whatever it is that's opening you may be the exact thing. Well, it's not even may. It is the exact thing that's being required, or you wouldn't be open to do it. For those of you who are listening, I know it's been really lovely. We're getting a few hundred downloads a week of this program already, and it's only our third show, and I'm really highly grateful. And I'd love it if you would tell friends, because I really would love to have more people listening and calling in and being a part of this. But so for those of you who are people that are in participation with me in Smart Soul, I'm going to tell a story you've probably heard, but I don't think you're going to mind, because everybody loves this story so much, even I do. And I've gotten to tell it 100 times, and I'm still not tired of it. But for those of you who haven't heard it, I was getting ready to go on a trip once. And I teach courses. And so there's a lot when you're traveling by air and you need to bring all this stuff, you know, your order forms and your pamphlets and all of your handouts and, you know, projector and everything. And I'm running around the house, and I've got about 2.5 hours before I have to leave, and it feels like everything needs to be done. The cat still needs to be organized, and the trash taken out, and, you know, all of the stuff you need to do when you're going away. And I was going away for like 2 weeks, so it was even more intense than just a 3 or 4 day trip. And I kept getting this sensation to go to this coffee shop. I have a local coffee shop. It's Pete's Coffee. I love Pete's Coffee. And I kept getting this urge. And as you dig more into your internal guidance system, at first you're just asking questions of your IGS, but eventually you begin to just tune into this natural flow of your life, and you flow with it. And you'll get these feelings of moving towards something, or like just like picking up the phone to call someone. Anyways, I kept getting this feeling to go to Pete's. And I was like, this is crazy. I can't. So I went into the kitchen, and I started to make a cup of coffee for myself, and I was thinking, maybe I need coffee, and I don't know. And I closed. Turned around, started getting back into my routine, and I was closed. The only thing that opened me was the thought of going to Pete's. And I was like, okay, this better be good, spirit. You know, I have a little bit of an argumentative personality, if you haven't noticed, especially when it comes to the divine. Anyways, off I go, traipsing down to the corner Pete's Coffee store, and I walk in, and I get myself an iced coffee, and I make it up, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, okay, why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? Because by now I know that I am on my divine purpose when I'm following my IGS, so of course there's got to be a reason why I'm here. Can't find it. I start to think, okay, well, I got it. I don't know what this is about. I did my thing, and I'm leaving. Closed. I start thinking about being home and getting stuff done. Closed. Frustrating. So I turn around, I go back inside, and it had this bar along the outside window where you could sit on a stool. So I sat down on a stool. The woman next to me is on break from her work locally and starts kind of having a conversation. I think, oh, maybe I'm here to meet her. Closed. All right, so we just keep having this nice little summer's day, you know, talking about the neighborhood, the new park bench they put in over there, kind of a conversation, nothing really profound. And all of a sudden, I see my girlfriend coming from across the way. Now, she lived probably 45 minutes away, so it really was quite amazing to have her there in the neighborhood. So she comes in. She doesn't see me. She gets her coffee. I turn around. We see each other, do the whole, you know, hi, how are you, scream. I haven't seen you in so long. And I ask her what she's doing there. Now, I have kind of an alternative lifestyle. And this is a girlfriend of mine that's in the arts with me, and she had dreads. She's a white woman with dreads, and she's kind of a funky dresser. She's very creative and very artistic. And I said, what are you doing here? What's going on? It's the middle of the afternoon. She goes, oh, my God, I finally graduated with my degree in psychotherapy, focused on at-risk kids, and I get choked up. There's this perfect place that is the reason that I decided to get my psychotherapy for at-risk kids at all, to get my degree in that. I have been waiting for this day. I have an interview with them, and I'm so excited. And she started talking about all this, the papers that she's done and what she wants to do and why she loves them and why it's a part of her heart and all of this stuff. And the woman that I was talking to turns around and goes, I'm interviewing you. And they both looked at each other and said, oh, my gosh. And she said her name, and she's like, yes. And da, 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 da. And all of a sudden, I knew why I was there. I said, well, I got to go. I got to jump on a plane. It was so great to see you. Take my seat. I love you. See you later. Back to work. Got everything done. Didn't miss a beat. And was grateful. Was so grateful that I had the opportunity to be a part of that. She got the job. So, you know, we have 100,000 life purposes. And it's really important to follow that opening sensation. And it's not about wishful thinking. I could have made that coffee be just wishful thinking instead of opening of the IGS. And I can tell you from years of experience that if I had stepped out that door and it was just me avoiding something, I would have closed as I was heading towards the coffee shop. So it's not about wishful thinking, because it's consistent and you'll know, you can trust it. It does take being conscious, and it does take practices. You know, there's a whole series of practices that we have at Smart Soul Academy that lead you quietly and simply through experiencing your internal guidance system and getting to know it. So it does take some work. But to me, this is the most important work that we have to do. Because if all of us were engaged in following that sensation of expansion in combination with our thoughts, and it's always in combination with our desires and our thoughts and what we're thinking, and that's why it's so powerful and important to expand your thinking outside of what you think, outside of what your comfort zones may be or outside of what your imagination it can drum up, fueling and feeding that brain of yours so that when things come up, and it's one of the reasons that I have to say you should be watching the videos at TED.com. If I'm going to be giving everybody each week on the show another little gem, a gem of my favorite things. And one of my favorite things that I think everyone on the planet should be paying attention to is TED.com, TED.com. I'm sure most of you know about it, but if you don't, go there. And what it is about ideas worth spreading in technology, entertainment, and design. And what they do is they have people from all over the world who are nominating the most brilliant minds who have come up with the most brilliant things and moved them into this realm of videotaping them for 20 to 22 minutes. That's all they have, so it's short, sweet, and simple, and it is glorious watching these things. Talk about mind expanding. Talk about possibility for our future and our planet and each other. And so if you are on our email list and or a part of Smart Soul Academy, you'll be getting my favorite TED videos that I'll be sending out each week. I choose one and send it out so that people can like be inspired, and part of their life purposes, I believe, will be ignited in these things. So it's really important to expand your mind, expand your brain, and the context of what you believe is possible. And we have such a limited amount of information that is new and fresh that we come to in our natural waking and walking worlds, most of us. Yeah, we may be watching our media resources or getting emails online and things like that, but most of it is crafted for what we already know. And not a lot of it is crafted towards what we don't know, what's possible, what's expanding. Most of it is not going to support us when we're trying to engage our IGS in, well, if this thought is closing, then what is an opening thought? What other thought can I find that might open me and expand me so I can true into that flow in that direction? And with that said, TED isn't actually on the list today for amazing and exciting things. I want to tell you about one of the yummiest, sexiest websites out there. It's called Pandora.com, PANDORA.com, like Pandora's box, Pandora.com. And I am engaged in turning everyone I know onto this site. What it is it's called the Music Genome Project. It's free. You go to Pandora.com, it's a music site, and you can create your own radio stations. Now, there's other sites out there that allow you to do that. However, what Pandora does is you choose an artist or two or three or four or songs, or maybe artists and songs in the same radio station that you love. And it has an algorithm that breaks that song or that musician down into its various parts and characteristics. So it'll look at the drum beat, it'll look at the tone of the person's voice, it'll look at, and it's not, this computer breaks all that down. And then what it does is it goes and searches the world for like music. And it brings it back to you and your radio station. And then, not only that, but it lets you vote. So if it brings you back something that isn't what you're interested in, then what you can do is vote no. And it gets rid of that song immediately. It checks what is going on with that beat and that music in comparison to what you did choose, and it goes on its search again. So you are constantly perfecting your station. And let me tell you something, it's all I listen to. And here's something even more incredible. If you have an iPhone, you can get the little app for your iPhone and put your Pandora station right on your iPhone, which pipes the music that you love right in. I mean, it overtakes your iPod. And it allows it to be music. And you can buy the music that you love from right there. And you can share your music station with other people, which is something else that I love, because I can be on the phone with somebody who's in Europe or in a completely other, you know, New York. I'm in California. And we can be sitting there having a glass of wine or tea and having a conversation on a Friday night, and we can both be listening to the same music, which I love. I can send them my station, and I just love the idea of that kind of unity. Pandora.com, spread the word. I have no affiliation or relationship to the company at all other than a fan. I'm just a fan. And I love to bring people things that enhance and improve their lives. For me, I pipe it from my computer. I got a little cord goes right into my stereo system, and it's all I listen to anymore. And I have about 9 stations for different moods. So with that said, check out, that's the tip of the week that's powerful. So we have an open line here. We've got a person who's called in. I'm going to put you on the air. You're calling in from the 510 area code. 510 area code, and you are on the air. Hello. Are you
Hello.
There?
Hi. Hi, this is Trish.
Hi, Trish.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you're
Good.
Enjoying the show today.
Yes, I'm really enjoying the show. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So my question, one of the things that's coming up for me today is the difference between triggers, because we've talked about triggers, and no's, and the IGS closing, or triggers and boundaries.
Okay. Or triggers and, what was that last piece?
Boundaries. You know, the difference between setting a definitive boundary versus something that just really zings you and you have to kind of look at and work through and release.
So the one thing to remember in the IGS work is that you're always operating into the opening. So most people set boundaries, what I'm going to do is, we've only got 5 minutes left in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to do is I will carry this conversation, if we need to, over to the next call or the next radio show.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a boundary, if you can get rid of boundary and use the word self-care, not because boundary is bad or anything, but because most of the time people think of boundaries as a demarcation between two countries, right? This is mine, this is yours, and there's a very definitive negative way that it's set up. But really what a boundary is for a human being is you doing, needing something in order to care for yourself. So an example could be, someone's constantly late to dinner with you. They make you wait 20, 30 minutes. You're starving. You don't know whether to start, whether they're coming. There's all this stress that happens, and you need to say, look, this is very stressful for you not to show up. I need to set a boundary for me that you are going to show up on time or we don't go to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
mm-hmm.
there's the self-care. And if you're going to set that boundary, it should feel, the thought of setting it should feel opening. It should expand your internal guidance system.
Okay.
You feel very calm and wise and sure that what you're asking for is appropriate. It's not an ultimatum. It is truly something that's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Got it? Now,
okay.
A trigger is an emotional response to a person or a situation that can be pleasant or unpleasant, by the way. Either one, the Buddhist will tell you, will take you off track of your spiritual path. A trigger is when you have something coming up inside of you that's a vibrational match, and I don't mean to get too woo-woo. So, like, you witness somebody being arrogant, and then you have a response to that arrogant that's like, wow, God, look at how arrogant that person is, right?
Mm-hmm.
What that is about is that'll close you too if it's not true. Now, if you see somebody and you say, wow, that person's really self-centered and arrogant, and you have this open feeling in your body and there's no reaction that's closing to you, it's not a trigger.
Mm, okay.
See what I'm saying? But if,
mm-hmm.
and you often have space and compassion for that. If, when you see them, you get this big, wah, 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 you know, sensation, and you're thinking all these thoughts about them, and you check your IGS and your IGS is closed, well, then it's time to turn the mirror around and go, okay, how am I doing this? This is a trigger for me. This is my personal growth here.
It's a pretty fine line.
It takes
maybe
experience.
Not.
It takes
mm-hmm.
experience. But what I love is, this is a fantastic question, and because we only have 1 minute left, I'm wondering if you would be comfortable coming back on the beginning of the next show if you have time, and if not, I'll make a note and I'll start off with this subject so it can be recorded and you can get it in your podcast.
Sure.
Trish, sure. Thank you for calling in. I wish you'd called earlier. It's really juicy.
I'll just call next week.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to let you go so I can close out the show, but I really
okay.
appreciate your comment.
All right. Thank you.
I mean, your question. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, so we are in the last 30 seconds or 60 seconds of the show here, and I just want to remind you that you can go to smartsoul.com if you want to find out more about your internal guidance system. There's a video there that leads you through a meditation. And you can ask Zen questions there. You just go in the same page on the left-hand side in the column. You'll see Ask Zen. Click through and send your questions on in. I will be answering them on this radio program, which is every Wednesday from 11 to 12. Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time is when we start. I'm very much looking forward to talking to you next week, and I am ever so grateful that you showed up today. And please tell a friend. Please sign up for our podcast, and please rate the show if you enjoy it. All of those things allow me to move into different time slots, which means I get an opportunity to bring this beautiful message out to other people. And that's really what I'm here for. It's part of one of my 100,000 purposes I get to do in this lifetime. So as a closing message, I just want to let you know, you are so important. You are so needed. You have something in you that is arising in every moment that is only unique for you to be able to give. And accessing that is what we need more than anything else right now in this world. We need you. We need that piece of you that only you are here to give. And you're not here to give it when you have money. You're here to give it in every moment. In every moment, your gift is arising. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic week. I'm signing off now. Bye-bye.